Welcome to today's episode. Here's a quick trailer for you. Be sure to stick around and catch the full episode.
My background that led to this whole kind of journey, when I was 20 years old, I was hit head on by a drunk driver. My car was hit head on by a drunk driver at 70 miles per hour, and I was found dead at the scene. And when I came out of the coma 6 days later, I had been dead for 6 minutes. And quick aside, in 2016, I was diagnosed with a rare and aggressive form of cancer, acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and I was given a 20 to 30% chance of surviving. So we're taught to either lie to ourselves, like, I am wealthy. I have 500 people at my event. And it's like, but if that's not the case, if that's not yet true, then you're creating an internal conflict. It's incongruence within yourself. You're stating something that you aspire to or you wish were true, but it's not true. And because for me, it was like, I want to double my income. It happened in 2 months. When I had cancer, it was like, I got to beat cancer. I beat cancer. At one point, I wanted to run a 52-mile ultra marathon. So I read a book on it. I affirmed it. I visualized it. I journaled about it. I exercised and like, right? And I achieved that goal. And the first night when you get there, like last year, we immediately went into a 45-minute breathwork session. We're like, literally, we get there and we listen to somebody talk for like, they welcome us. And then we're laying on our backs and half of us are bawling our eyes out doing this intensive breathwork. The first thing I want to do is demystify it, which is when John and I threw our first ever live event the night before, we're like, dude, we've got to sell something tomorrow or we have to sell something at the event. It was like a 3-day event. I think we have to sell something. We're like, what are we going to sell? So we literally were making it up the night before the event. And I made an order form using Microsoft Word, dragging images in. And what we did is we actually modeled a mastermind that we were in years before.
Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high-ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to today's episode of the podcast. Today we have a very special guest, my dear friend, Mr. Hal Elrod from Austin, Texas. Welcome, sir.
Rudy, thank you so much for having me, brother.
I'm so excited to have you on here, Hal. I read your book, gosh, well over 10 years ago. I think it was 2014, Miracle Morning, when I was on my way out of the Navy and I was wanting to become an entrepreneur and just trying to figure out all the little pieces that go into how to be productive outside of the world where, as an entrepreneur, there's no structures. Nobody's telling you what to do.
Yeah,
you got to self-direct. And your book was just so freaking helpful when I found it back then. And even to this day, man, I still love referencing your book from time to time and sharing with others the savers and all the methods on how to Miracle Morning. So I'm excited to have you on here with our audience today. And really, yeah, you're just a fun guy, a lot of energy. For our audience here who's tuning in, maybe hearing your name for the first time, Hal Elrod is the author of the Miracle Morning brand, who's actually, if you see the video, he has a series of books behind him because he's actually diversified his book into various niches over the past many years and has sold over 3 million copies.
On the way to 30 million, dude.
I'm future casting you.
The future. Yeah.
On your way to 30 million. No doubt about that, but I sold over 3 million copies of The Miracle Morning. And you also have run many, many events over the years. And I know we'll be able to talk on that and some of the top of mind challenges that event leaders face when they lead their events, especially the stress around filling their events. But you do a lot of keynote speaking these days. You've actually been a keynote speaker on some very large stages in our industry, including the Mavericks Group, Joe Polish, Archangel, Dave Asprey's Bio Conference. So if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I need a keynote speaker like Hal at my event, guess what? You can email Hal and have a chat with him about it and his team. Welcome, brother. I'm going to go ahead and hand you the stage. I'd love to hear a little bit about your background with events and let's have some fun.
Yeah, man. My background that led to this whole kind of journey, when I was 20 years old, I was hit head on by a drunk driver. My car was hit head on by a drunk driver at 70 miles per hour, and I was found dead at the scene. And when I came out of the coma 6 days later, I had been dead for 6 minutes. I broke 11 bones. Doctors said I would never walk again. Well, at that point, I had been a Cutco sales rep for a year and a half, and I started speaking at Cutco events regularly. And I had a dream of being a speaker. And when I came out of the coma and I was facing this unimaginable reality, one of the first thoughts I had is, oh, maybe this is meant to be. Maybe I'm supposed to experience this extreme life and death adversity so that I can overcome it. And then I can share it from the stage with people, with audiences. And I was 20 years old at that time, but that became my life's work and writing books and then speaking about those books essentially and sharing my message from stage. And then in 2012, I published the first edition of The Miracle Morning, self-published it. And one of the bonuses that I gave away before I even know what I was doing is I had a whole bunch of tiers where if you order 25 copies, you get this little bonus, and 50 copies, and 100. If you order 500 copies, you get a free ticket to the first ever live event that I'm putting on. And I didn't know what I was going to do for that. I just sold the bonus and then figured I'll figure out how to do it on the way. And so 2014 was our first ever live event. And we ended up not calling it the Miracle Morning. We called it the Best Year Ever Blueprint. And we had 450 people, I think, at our first one at like a $580 price point, somewhere around there. Great. And then we sold a mastermind on the back end. We called the Quantum Leap Mastermind. So we sold a mastermind off the back end of the event, and it was a really successful model. So we did that again the next year and ended up 6 years of running those live events. And quick aside, in 2016, I was diagnosed with a rare an aggressive form of cancer, acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and I was given a 20 to 30% chance of surviving. So if you're my parents, you're like, and even me, I'm like, God, what else am I supposed to learn? Like, I already faced death once, and now I was a dad with a 7-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son, and being told I only had a 20 to 30% chance of being alive for my kids. And so 2019 was the last year we ran the event. I was on chemo. I was struggling with mental and emotional challenges. And so we put the event on hold. And in hindsight, when 2020 hit and we didn't have an event on the calendar for December, my business partner, John, and I were actually like, dude, we dodged a bullet. Like, if there was any year to take a break from live events, 2020 was the year to take a break in advance. So yeah, man, that's been my experience with live events. And we do online events all the time. We've actually pivoted to do a lot of online events because we have an international community and it's millions of people around the world that do their Miracle Morning. And it's hard to get them all into a room in Austin, Texas, a lot easier to get them into a Zoom room wherever they are around the world.
Thanks for that background, man. There's several things that jumped out to me. One, obviously your origin story, which you highlight in the book. I remember that story. You just said it. I was like, oh yeah, I remember reading that, how you had to come back from being on top of the world to like nothing, almost dying. And then how you rebuilt yourself and how the Miracle Morning and the principles and the practice that you learned helped you rebuild yourself. And I know we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a bit, which I'm excited about. And then thanks for the context on your live event experience. I know it's been since 2020, but you went through the grind. You went through the grind that most people listening to this are going through right now or can relate to, of like, hey, I threw an event on the calendar, didn't know how I was going to fill it. And now it's coming up and I am stressing out about how I get my event filled. And I think one of the things would be really interesting to hear is maybe you can share a little bit about the Miracle Morning. Maybe somebody hasn't heard it, but specifically you could recommend event leaders apply maybe the Savers concept for those super stressful 90 days leading up to their event when all they can think about is filling their event.
Absolutely. So the Miracle Morning, in case someone doesn't know, it's made up of 6 practices. It's a morning routine. It's kind of one of the OG morning routines since 2012. And the 6 practices are organized into a memorable acronym, the SAVERS, S-A-V-E-R-S. The first S stands for silence. So it's starting your day with prayer, meditation, just peace of mind, and really calming your nervous system, lowering your stress, getting centered, getting focused, and prepared for the rest of your Miracle Morning and ultimately the rest of the day. The A in SAVERS is for affirmations. And this is actually key. This is the most, I think, misunderstood form of personal development. Affirmations are, and they have a bad rap because either if you ever saw Stuart Smalley in the 90s, like the Saturday Night Live character that kind of made fun of affirmations with his over-exaggerated lisp, he'd say the daily affirmations with Stuart Smalley. But then I think the biggest reason is affirmations have been taught by well-meaning self-help gurus in these really ineffective ways. So we're taught to either lie to ourselves, like, I am wealthy. I have 500 people at my event. And it's like, But if that's not the case, if that's not yet true, then you're creating an internal conflict. It's incongruence within yourself. You're stating something that you aspire to or you wish were true, but it's not true. There's a distinction on how to do it the right way. The second problem with affirmations is we're often taught to use this flowery passive language where you're like, I am a money magnet. Money flows to me effortlessly and in abundance. And that's just this delusional thing where you're not a money magnet. Like, that's not how it works. So the way that I use affirmations, and anybody listening to this, you can apply this to filling the room of your live event. You can apply this like I did in 2008 when I created the Miracle Morning to doubling my income in a recession, a global recession, which I did in 2 months thanks to the Miracle Morning. You can apply this affirmations formula I'm going to teach you to beating cancer when you're given a 20 to 30% chance of surviving. Like, it's a universal formula that whatever your goals or outcomes are that you desire, this will amplify and accelerate your ability to achieve them. Three simple steps. Step one, affirm what you are committed to. It's very different to say, I am wealthy, or I have 500 people registered for my event, things that aren't yet true, from I am committed to do everything in my power to fill the room to capacity so that the people can benefit. When you're committed, that's what generates the movement and the motivation and the drive and the forward progress to generate the outcome. So step one, affirm what you're committed to. Step two, affirm why it's important to you. Why is it a must? Why is it meaningful? So in the filling the room example, I'm committed to fill the room to capacity because I know that what I have to deliver at that event is going to transform the lives of every person in attendance. And therefore, it is my God-given responsibility to do everything in my power to get people into the room, to fill that room. And the third step is affirm which actions you will take and when. Which actions you will take and when. And so the bottom line is when we feel stressed, and you mentioned, like, I know as an event person, it's stressful. You're not selling enough tickets. You're not sure if you're going to reach your capacity. The bottom line is when we focus on things that are out of our control, we feel out of control. That applies to every aspect of life. 2020 was a great example. The whole world was stressed and overwhelmed because they're focused on a virus that they can't control and government shutdowns they can't control and what their aunt said on Instagram that they can't control. And these affirmations allow you to focus on what you can control, which is what you're committed to, why it's important. And the third piece, which actions you will take. And when you're affirming and reminding yourself every day that in order to follow through with my commitment, for example, I will follow my marketing plan, or I will make my marketing plan, or I will email on Mondays and Fridays with added value and an ask at the end. So that formula allows you to focus on what's in your control, remind yourself why it's important, and just remind yourself of what you can do to get there. So real quickly, the last part of the Sabres, V for visualization, E for exercise, R for reading, and the final S for scribing. And these are the six most timeless proven personal development practices in the history of the world. And what makes the Miracle Morning so unique, so miraculous, if you will, is you're not just picking one of them that'll change your life. You're stacking all six of these habits in a daily morning routine that can be done as little as 6 minutes or 20 or 30 or an hour, but you're essentially putting yourself in a peak physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual state every morning so you can win the day and then achieve the goals and results that you want in your life.
I love the hell. And I love the conviction that you bring to this. Clearly, it's changed your life. It helped you beat cancer. It helped you double your business during a recessionary period. And it's helped millions of people do the same and similar benefits. Just a recap for our audience here, SAVERS, the acronym, was used, and correct me if I missed it here. So the S is for silence. Then it's affirmations and doing it in a way that we actually believe, like we're fully committed versus, oh, I'm a money magnet, right? Like Congruent. V is S-A-V. V is for
visualization.
Visualization, taking the time to see that future goal. E is for exercise. R is for reading. And then the last S is for scribing.
Scribing, there you go. You're ahead of yourself, Begin with the end in mind. That's one of your things you do, Rudy.
and I do have to share with our audience here that this little acronym, as simple as it is, I just encourage you to write it down. Go buy a book, read about it. Like this, if you're not doing this or something similar to this, There's nothing more important, in my opinion, in business or life, than taking that time, that whether it's 6 minutes, 20 minutes, or an hour or more each day, to take care of yourself and have a formula. And if you're looking for a process formula, check out Health Stuff. His stuff is phenomenal. I know we can go in the weeds here and talk details, but I want to keep it as relevant as we can to our audience here with events. Yeah. Maybe specific recommendations you can make for event leaders on how they can apply Savers and the Miracle Morning process to help them manage that ramp up to their live events.
Yeah, the way that I look at it is there's two ways to approach the Miracle Morning. One is as a general personal development practice to start the day in a peak state. So you might read a book on mental health, and then maybe you're reciting affirmations around your different goals that you have in your life, your financial goals, your fitness goals, your marriage goals, your parenting goals. And maybe you're doing a guided meditation about having more confidence, and maybe you're journaling what you're grateful for. So it can be this generalized morning routine that overall serves you, or it can be a very dialed in, singular focus, singular objective morning routine. So in 2008, when I created the Miracle Morning, I didn't know it would be a book 4 years later. Like, I just needed to turn my life around because the economy crashed, my coaching business was failing. So my savers were all focused on doubling my income, because I lost half my income. So I wanted to double my income to get back to where I was and go beyond. So I ordered a book called Book Yourself Solid by Michael Port on how to book coaching clients. If I were you, right, I would use your reading time, whether you're reading a book about how to fill live events, or you're reading blog posts about it, or you're working with ChatGPT, but that becomes your content time, is learning from someone who's an expert that's done what you're trying to do. You're learning it. Then you pull out your affirmations. My first affirmations were a blank Microsoft Word doc. And as I was reading the book, think about this. Most of us read a book and we're like, ooh, that's a really good point. And we underline it, maybe dog ear it. I'll come back to that. And then we keep reading. You're like, oh my gosh, that's a great one too. Oh, that's a great one. Then when you finish the book, you had the best of intentions to come back. And we rarely ever go back to integrate and implement everything that we read. We just go, oh, I got that book done. I got another book I really want to read. So for me, as I'm reading this book and I'm learning the things to achieve the goal I have of doubling my income, as I read something, I'm like, ooh, I need to remember or implement that. So I would type it into this Microsoft Word document. Affirmations in the simplest form are just reminders of what you deem to be so important that you need to remember it, you need to integrate it, you need to implement it. So my affirmations were just simply all of the most important actions and lessons that I was learning from the book. So now I'm reading the book and learning. I'm putting in my affirmation so that in one succinct page, I can review and not forget, so I can implement. Then I'm visualizing myself doing the things today that I need to do, that I affirm, that are out of my comfort zone. Then I'm pulling out my journal and I'm scribing and I'm writing down the most important thing I'm going to do today to move the needle, to achieve the goals. So all of the savers synchronistically support each other and support you in focusing on what you need to focus on, harnessing and developing the beliefs to achieve whatever goal. And because for me, it was like, I want to double my income. It happened in 2 months. When I had cancer, it was like, I got to beat cancer. I beat cancer. At one point, I wanted to run a 52-mile ultra marathon. So I read a book on it. I affirmed it. I visualized it. I journaled about it. I exercised and I achieved that goal. So this universal framework is the saver, are the savers that you can apply toward filling your events.
Hell, that is brilliant, man. I love that specific example and how you channel all of the elements of the Miracle Morning towards a specific objective or outcome. That's brilliant. So for event leaders listening to this, doing that, a moment of silence, right, in the morning of peace, and maybe taking a pause from everything, going into the affirmations and thinking about or affirming what they want to see as their event outcome when it comes to filling their event, getting to the visualization, whether it's an image or a video or whatever, just closing the eyes and visualizing that room already full.
Yeah.
And then got to move the body, got to exercise, got to walk. But while walking, you could be having conversations or doing something that's going to support the event, and then reading something about how you're going to go about promoting the event, and then ultimately writing about it as well, like journaling, maybe what works, what's not working, like capturing all ideas around that objective. I like the singularity of focus or theme around all the elements of the Miracle Morning. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Yeah. Okay. So our audience, let's just say that they focus, they commit to the Miracle Morning. They're doing the savers. They got a specific intention or agenda that they're working towards. And let's say they do it. They do a good job. They double their enrollments into their event. And now they're there. They have a room with 100 or more people in it. And they're excited. And all of a sudden, they realize that they have a lot going on at once in 2 or 3 days, in addition to managing 100 people in the room. How can they apply your teachings to running the event and maintaining that engagement throughout the event, ultimately helping enroll people into the next event or to the mastermind program?
Yeah. So the way that I look at it is, this is a good way to frame it, is there's event 1.0 and there's event 2.0. And then you could argue there's even event 3.0. But event 1.0 is what most event folks do, which is put speakers on the stage. And that's about it. And so people go there and they're taking notes the whole time. And it's information overload. And especially with AI right now, like, we don't need more information. We need our events to be experiential. So when we ran our live events, and my good friend John Berghoff ran the events with me, and he created a methodology for events, which is called exchange approach. The letter X, the word change and approach. So if you put on events, I encourage you, check out exchangeapproach.com. But John, he had studied experiential learning. And so the idea was, and this is, I'll give you just the simplest version of this. It's where if there is a speaker on stage, you're listening to the speaker, everybody's taking notes and writing down the most important things. Then you never, ever, ever move on to another speaker until you've had everyone, you've given them time to journal and reflect on what they learned and what they want to apply to their life. Then you put them into groups, and then they get to groups of typically 3 to 4, and then they all take turns sharing, and you let them know, hey, I'm gonna 60 seconds each or 2 minutes each, depending on your time frame. And then everybody shares. So now you're harnessing the collective intelligence in the room, where they're not just learning from the speaker on the stage, but you're giving them time to gain insights based on what they were inspired from the speaker on the stage, their own insights, which they don't have time to do if they go straight to another speaker. And then you're allowing them to learn from the ability to speak what their insights were. And sometimes we learn more when we talk through our insights. Then they're getting to learn from other people's insights that they go, oh my gosh, I never thought of it that way. I'm going to do that too. That's a great point. So this is event 2.0, where you really harness the power of experiential learning for your attendees. And then event 3.0 is where you do that and you bring in music. You have them move their body. You bring in movement. One of my favorite events that I go to every year is called, it's Front Row Dads. It's a membership I'm a part of, Mastermind. And they do Mastermind events. They do a big live event in December. And the first night when you get there, like last year, we immediately went into a 45-minute breathwork session. We're like, literally, we get there and we listen to somebody talk for like, they welcome us. And then we're laying on our backs and half of us are bawling our eyes out doing this intensive breathwork. That is an experience. I mean, I tapped into like stuff from my childhood I didn't even know existed. Then the next morning, he's like, hey, come in for a little morning session, and then we're going to give you a 2-hour break, and you can go play basketball or you can play pickleball. We have 2 facilities rented out. So now the attendees are going, they're bonding, they're having fun. So that's, I go to Front Row Dads events not for the speakers on the stage. Like, that's great. I go there for the bonding, the camaraderie, the experiential aspect of being at the event. And maybe my favorite part of the event is when I get to go play pickleball for 2 hours on day two. So those are the three, like, I would encourage you to consider event 3.0. Event 2.0 is crucial, and event 3.0 is where you really make it experiential, fun, different. We always brought live music into our events, and we had a musician that played live affirmative music with positive lyrics, and he played it over and over on breaks, in the beginning, in the morning, at the end of the day. And he, by the way, our musician is one of my best friends. His name is Jay Hobbs, the letter J and then Hobbs. I encourage you to listen to his music on Spotify.
Nice. So Jay Hobbs, and then you also mentioned John.
Yeah, exchange approach, the letter X, change, yes. Approach. Yeah, that. And he took what he developed for our events, and then he realized, wow, everybody needs this. And so now he has a whole methodology and a company where he teaches people how to do this. In fact, Yannick, I think, has gone through this. And yeah, so.
Yeah, we actually had John on the podcast.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, earlier, probably about 6 months ago. So our audience, if you're curious to learn more about John, you can just go back and
go listen to that episode.
Yeah, go listen to it. His episode was great. It was really amazing. Wonderful to have him on. Yeah, so how some great tidbits as far as, hey, thinking about, hey, 1.0, 2.0, 3.0. 1.0 is, hey, it's your first event. Maybe it's just bringing people into a room, speakers, connecting speakers with attendees. And yeah, it's just a lot of information per se, maybe information overload. But that's oftentimes where things start. 2.0 is more crafting and interaction amongst attendees. And then 3.0 is really where you're evolving to create an entire experience with music, lights, exercises, et cetera. And you give the example of front row dads.
Breathwork, meditation, you name it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you give the example of front row dads as like an experience that you're part of, that a community that you love and you see as like a 3.0 type of version. And what I love about your message too is it's okay wherever you're at. You're moving towards that 3.0 experience. Totally. And it's okay to have the 1.0. You got to have the 1.0.
You got to start somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. On the way to 2.0 and 3.0. It's awesome, man. One more thing that's very top of mind for people at events. And I know you speak at events and you've held your own events. Oftentimes events are being used as an opportunity to introduce them to a community, but ultimately to want to invite them to participate at a higher level, like a mastermind program. You've had mastermind programs.
Yeah.
What's your best advice you would say to an event leader who wants to use their event to elevate people into their mastermind programs?
The first thing I want to do is demystify it, which is when John and I threw our first ever live event the night before, we're like, dude, we've got to sell something tomorrow. Or we have to sell something at the event. It was like a 3-day event. I think we have to sell something. We're like, what are we going to sell? So we literally were making it up the night before the event. And I made an order form using Microsoft Word, dragging images in. And we're like, and what we did is we actually modeled a mastermind that we were in years before. We're like, what do we like? We had been in a few. I'm like, ooh, let's take this from this mastermind. Let's take this from this mastermind. And so we put it together and they were like, what should we sell it for? And again, we took pricing of other, like, don't reinvent the wheel. Model what's already out there and what's already working. That's the first thing that I would say. And then talk about it throughout the event. That's really, really important in a non-salesy way. But you're like, we have a mastermind. Some of you know that. And we'll talk, don't worry about that now. We'll talk about it on day 3. But this is an opportunity where we get to go deeper. And it is important. So like, find ways to use examples. For example, one of my favorite quotes, Jim Rohn said, you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with, right? Like I remember we mentioned that quote during our live event at least once a day when we would send people into breakouts, right? So we would explain the concept of how other people's mindset affects your mindset, both positive and negative. We're going to put you into breakouts so that you can really leverage the power of learning from each other, be the average of the 3, 4, or 5 people that you spend time with at the event. And we kept, so that's an example of seeding. We're seeding the value of being around like-minded people. So then when we get to finally offer the live event, offer the mastermind. We're like, remember how we've talked the last few days about you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. Well, imagine the folks in this room that decide to join us for the next 12 months, how committed those people are, how elevated their faith, right? Like, and this is the group you want to be a part of. You want to be the average of this Quantum Leap mastermind group, right? If y'all are interested, like, we're not going to take your time and talk about it now, but hang out right before lunch. And we're going to hang out. And if anybody's interested, we're going to stick around for a little Q&A and you can ask us questions about it. So it was super low key in terms of like, we didn't even pitch it from stage. We're like, if that sounds interesting, we seeded it throughout. And then if that sounds interesting, just hang back after lunch for 5 minutes and we'll tell you a little more about it and answer questions. And then we did that again at the end of day 2, at the end of day 3. So there were some different spots we gave them to be able to come and talk to us and join. But that was year 1 when we didn't have, and then eventually we got to where we'd go, hey, raise your hand if you're a member of the Quantum Leap Mastermind and go, hey, anybody want to share what's your experience been like this last year? It's amazing. Like, then you have them sell it to each other. But those are some tips of what worked really well for us.
Awesome, man. What I'm hearing you say, my takeaway here is just be upfront, be transparent about it. Let people know that you have one.
Yeah,
and given the opportunity to opt in to learn more. I love how you said you just did these little kind of opt-in windows, even as early as day 1. Hey, we have it. If you want to stick around, you want to learn more about it, like hang out and having them opt in to get an invitation. I think that's the theme of this. And obviously it's probably evolved for you over time as you got better at it. But generally, you're very much like, hey, let's don't pretend we don't have it. Like, let them know up front and let them opt in to hear more about the mastermind.
And definitely the famous line of like, it's not for everybody. I mean, I think that's an important thing because it's very authentic. Like, this isn't for everybody. Like, the price point's not for everybody. It may not be a fit for you. So no pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the other tip that you shared about, hey, you can, once you build a mastermind, then really relying on the social proof of the community to share their experience and help build those connections. There's so much, we can go so deep on this subject, but I'd love to hear your quick synopsis on it. We just have a couple minutes left in this interview, and I really want to make sure that we could have a chance to for the audience to hear more about how they can learn more about you and get into your world a bit more. Do you mind sharing a
little bit about absolutely. That? Yeah, the best place for speaking, if you want to look at my keynote speaking, it's halelrod.com, halelrod.com. But then Miracle Morning, like the hub of the Miracle Morning is miraclemorning.com. And that links to the books, it links to the Miracle Morning app. The Miracle Morning movie is probably, I'd encourage everyone to start there. If you've read the book, haven't read the book, you can order the book, but the movie you can watch free. If you go to miraclemorning.com, you can watch the movie for free. And it features Mel Robbins, Brendan Burchard, Robin Sharma, Robert Kiyosaki, Leila Ali. I mean, on and on. Dave Asprey, a lot of brilliant individuals. And then I was diagnosed with cancer halfway through filming. And when I called our director and said, hey, man, the movie's on hold. I have to fight for my life, for my family. He's a friend of mine. So after we talked for a while, he said, Hal, this is the movie. Like, I've been filming you using the Miracle Morning and sharing it with other people, and now you're using it to save your life. Like, we've got to capture this. And so after a good conversation with my wife, I like, that wasn't part of the plan. But when you watch the movie, the last 30 minutes are my cancer journey and how the Miracle Morning is an integral part of my cancer journey.
Holy guacamole. Hell, that's remarkable. I am going to go watch this. I'm putting this in my queue to go
thanks, brother.
Tune in. Yeah. I personally lost a mentor who was like a father figure to me for almost 20 years to cancer a couple of years ago. So to connect the dots between like, hey, you can use this to save your life and save somebody else's life. Like it's not just about doubling your business. You're like,
nope,
these are principles that you use yourself and you document and how you literally saved your own life when given a 20 or 30% chance of living. Thank you, brother, for being so open and being willing to commit your life to sharing this. I know you're on a mission. You've had 3 million people buy your book. There's still 8 billion people left.
That's
left
right. I'm working on it.
And you've dedicated your life to this, brother. It's been a pleasure having you on, man. It's been a great interview and look forward to hanging with you again.
You too, Rudy. Thank you so much for what you do, brother.
Absolutely, man. That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to the High Profit Event Show. If you are a seminar leader or thought leader or event service provider who has led or supported profitable, successful events to over 100 people, and you've been effective at enrollment into your high-end coaching, education, mastermind type programs, we're looking for guests. Love to have you on the show. You can go to our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com, click on the podcast tab and submit an application to be on our show. Also, if you found the show to be valuable, share it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Take a moment, please leave a review, and also subscribe if you haven't already. And lastly, if you have an upcoming event, whether it be virtual or in person, and you'd like to have a conversation about how to fuel your coaching, education, mastermind programs fast using events, you're welcome to book a complimentary 15-minute consult with either myself or a member of my team on our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com. Again, this is Rudy Rodriguez, and congratulations on investing the time to listen to this episode. I hope it's been valuable. Have a great day.